Luke's Gospel and chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 8 to verse 20. So Luke chapter 2, and that's on page 1033 in the Church Bibles. And we read from verse 8. So this is the well-known reading of the shepherds and the angels. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. You've just seen the children opening a parcels with these words inside. And I want us this morning, both the adults and the children are now tucking into their chocolates. They haven't been told not to, so I suppose that's fair enough. But I want us to be thinking about this opening of parcels as something that we can all do ourselves as we look at this wonderful historical narrative of how the shepherds heard this wonderful good news about Jesus. We are opening a parcel ourselves. And the first sort of layer is this word wonder. Okay? Because we read here in Luke chapter 2 and verse 18, all who heard the shepherds' report wondered at what the shepherds told them. What had the shepherds told the people? Well, we read it before. It was night time. It was a hillside near Bethlehem. It was like any other night. There they were, watching their sheep, guarding their sheep, and then suddenly, whoosh, what happens? Maybe not quite that sound effect, I don't know. But certainly an amazing sight appeared before their eyes. An angel was there. And when we read about angels in the Bible, we mustn't think of them as being slightly sort of fairy-like creatures who simply shine and have wings and look a little bit dainty. No, this angel was strong. He was powerful. He was mighty. He has a message for these shepherds. And then before long, he's joined by a vast multitude, a heavenly choir of angels. And this angel and these angels have an amazing message for the shepherds. What is it? "This day to you is born in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord." And we read here that the people who heard the shepherd's report, they wondered. What does that word wondered mean? Well, there are various ways we can translate it. They wondered, they marveled, they were amazed, they were astonished. This is something that we could never imagine hearing. This is such breathtaking news. We're not told that these people who wondered in a kind of skeptical, cynical, all right, pull the other one type of way. We know today that an awful lot of people react in that way to anything that seems different. There's not a sense of that in this passage. Rather, there's a sense of, we've heard something that is so extraordinary, it's beyond the wit of ordinary shepherds, who weren't probably the most educated or inventive people in the world, to have made this up. You know, sometimes we say, don't we, what I've just heard from you is too good to be true. It's too good to be true. Instead, what we have here is something that is too good to be false. It's too good to be made up. Which shepherds would be able to spin a yarn like this? The people seemed to believe them. They believed. They didn't doubt. And this is something that we should say about the whole Christian message. The message of Jesus Christ. It's just too wonderful. It's just too glorious. It's just too beyond the ability of man or woman or child or shepherd to fabricate. It's beyond mere human imagination. You see, when people try and think about a religion, inventing a religion, a way to get to God, a way to try and be at peace with God, it always works like this. How can I be good enough to measure up to the standards of a God who is so great and so powerful? And people do things like building towers, the Tower of Babel. They build statues. They go on pilgrimages. They do all sorts of things. But this message is different. This message is from God because he sends his angel with this heavenly message. I've sent my son into the world to be your savior. This message is not too good to be true. This message is too good to be false. It's beyond the wit of man to fabricate such a message as this. I want us to move on in a few moments, but we're going to sing first. We're going to sing. Maybe that's the best kind of treasure is money? Yeah, do you think so? Something that you bury in the ground and pirates dig for treasure. But it says here in the Bible that Mary treasured these things. I wonder what that means. What does it mean to treasure something? Anyone know? What does it mean if you treasure something? Daniel? Matthew? You look after it, you keep it, and you value it. Okay? And we're told that Mary treasured these things that happened, what the shepherds had said to her. I think any new mother of a firstborn child will treasure all sorts of things about the birth of that child. They will keep memories stored away. They will keep photographs. They will keep cards. They will keep gifts. They'll keep little clothes and little toys that have been given to the child. Two of our children, who shall remain nameless, have two sort of fluffy toys that we still keep somewhere for when they might lapse into immaturity again one day. And they're called Hannah and Peter Rabbit, and one's pink and one's blue. But, we treasure these things because the children like to have them when they're newborn children. So Mary treasured what happened. But she didn't just treasure what happened. There's another word, isn't there, which we looked at before, and it's this word, ponder. Ponder. That's a funny word, isn't it? What does ponder mean? Is ponder a panda spelt badly? What does ponder mean? Anyone know, Rebecca? To remember and to think about something and really to turn it over in your mind and to ask the question, what does this mean? What's all this about? This is really important. Mary was a young girl, probably a young teenage girl. But we know from what we read in Luke's Gospel, she was a very, very thoughtful person. She gave things a lot of thought, a lot of consideration. Luke records a number of details about Mary in that regard. When the angel first came to her, the angel said to Mary, totally out of the blue, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And Mary tried to work out in her mind exactly what that meant. She had no idea, but she thought about it. And then later on, after all this happened with the shepherds, they took Jesus to a man called Simeon. And we'll hear more about Simeon tonight from Pete, as Pete speaks to us about Simeon. And Simeon made amazing predictions about Jesus, who was still a baby. And we read that Mary, with Joseph, were thinking and pondering and wondering about what all this could possibly mean. Mary was pondering these things in her mind. And then much later, Jesus was 12 years old, and he was in the temple in Jerusalem, and he had amazing understanding. He knew more than all his teachers and all the experts. He answered all their questions, and they were all amazed. And so was Mary, his mother. She had even more to think about. Who exactly is this amazing person called Jesus, who is the son of Mary? Well, let me say this to everyone here this morning. We should be pondering these things. The facts about Jesus and his coming into this world are facts that we should ponder and think about more than anything else in our lives. I wonder what you're pondering at the moment. I wonder what's been going through your mind in the last 48 hours or so. Let me hazard some guesses. The price of your Christmas food bill from wherever you shop is going through the roof. And you've been pondering that, shall we say. I'm pondering the price of my Sainsbury's food bill. You need to get your car fixed or something repaired in your home. And you're pondering that. You're pondering Christmas family arrangements. They're giving you a great deal to think about. You're pondering them. You're pondering the latest government efforts to try and bring about some kind of smooth Brexit. Or maybe you're not even trying to ponder something so labyrinthine as that. I don't know, but you can ponder all sorts of things. You can be pondering, children, what am I going to do at school on Monday? What am I going to get for Christmas the Monday afterwards? And you're thinking about these things, and they're worthy of your thinking. But there is nothing. There is nothing that so demands your thoughtful consideration than the fact of Jesus coming into this world. It doesn't matter who you are. This is the most important fact of all. Because of what the angel says. What does the angel say? Let me read again verse 11. He says to the shepherds, "To you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord." Saviour. What does the word Saviour mean? Children, what does the word Saviour mean? Saviour. Do you know what it means, Emily? Do you know what Saviour means? What does it sound a bit like? What's the first part of the word Saviour? Save. A Saviour is someone who saves you from something. So if I was up on a mountainside and I fell over and broke my leg, a helicopter might come down and save me and take me away to hospital and I would be made better. We need to be saved from things. Why is Jesus a saviour? What does Jesus come and save us from, Ayomide? He saves us from our sin. And what is sin? Excellent. When we disobey God and go against God's commandments. You see, we might say, there are lots of things I'd like to be saved from. If I could be saved from high taxes, that would be nice. If I could be saved from seasonal illnesses like colds and flu, oh, I'd love that. Yeah, absolutely, Richard, yeah. If I could be saved from drafty doors and windows, if I could be saved from an invasion of rodents into my house, whatever it might be, or we've had one or two in the last few weeks, you know. Oh, to be saved from that, that would be great, wouldn't it? But Ayomide's right. Jesus saves us from far more serious things than that. From our worst enemies, from our sin, from our sinful, rebellious hearts. You see, however hard we try, and in 2 or 3 weeks it'll be 2018, New Year, maybe New Year's resolutions, we will still find out that our hearts and our inner natures are as bad and selfish and sinful as ever. We need to be saved from that. We find because of our hearts that a good and a righteous and holy God is justly angry with us because of our sin. We need to be saved from his anger. We need to be saved from the sentence of eternal condemnation and death. You see, Jesus is a saviour from our worst enemies. And your worst enemy is all of these things, our sinful hearts, the righteous anger of God, the condemnation of God. But there's more to it than that, you see. Jesus comes to save us for good things. For us to be reconciled, to be brought in peace to God, to be changed and transformed in our hearts and minds, to spend eternity with God in a new, perfect world. Ponder these things. There's nothing that is more deserving of your thoughtful pondering and consideration. We'll come back for one short final explanation after we've sung. We're almost done. Let me just hold up these last two words. Glorify and praise. Who did the glorifying and praising in our passage? Who was glorifying? Who was doing the praising? Anyone tell me? The angels certainly did do that. They sang glory be to God on high. But who else? The shepherds did. Yes, that's right. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Why did they do that? Because they understood the angel's message. It might even be that the shepherds understood what the angel meant more quickly even than Mary did. They grasped it. They saw it. And they were filled with this joy. And what did this joy lead to? Did they just say, hey boys, let's have a party, let's have loads of food, let's have a disco, let's have a rollerblading, ice skating disco, or whatever you do in those days? I don't know what they did. Nothing like that, of course. But they didn't do that, did they? They didn't just say, hey guys, aren't we so lucky to have heard this? Let's just sort of jump up and down until we get tired. They didn't do that. They glorified and they praised God. Because that's the right response to the coming of Jesus into this world. Why? Because he's not come just to put a few things right. He's not come just to adjust things so that they're a little bit more helpful for us in our day-to-day life. He's come to save us from sin, from death, from all the things we've been talking about. There were never happier men in this world than these shepherds were on the night that Jesus was born. Something that you see as you read these narratives of the birth of Jesus is just the amazing joy. The joy of the shepherds. The joy of the wise men when they came and brought their gifts. The joy of Elizabeth, Mary's relative, when she heard that Mary had come and was bearing the infant Jesus. There's joy there. But let me just finish with this thought. We read that they praised God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Now, I want you to think about that, if about nothing else. As it had been told them. They'd been told something very specific. Go to Bethlehem. You will find a baby. The baby is wrapped in swaddling cloths. The baby is lying in a manger. The shepherds went, and they found these things exactly as they had been told. Why am I a Christian? Why do I believe that this message is something worth telling the people of Camberwell about? I'll tell you why in a word, because it's true. Because it matches reality. Because it is realistic. Because it is reliable. Because it doesn't pull punches. The Bible tells us that you and I are in very great need because of our sin. We need a Savior. We can't save ourselves. We can't help ourselves. We can't make ourselves better. We can't earn heaven. We can't earn God's forgiveness by doing anything for ourselves. We need a rescuer. We need a deliverer. And that deliverer is Jesus. He's the only one there can be. No other religion will get you to heaven. No other religion contains the truth that Christianity is in the Word of God. It's true. These things really happened. You see, there's nothing I would rather do less than stand up here this morning and tell you what my opinion might be. My opinion is utterly worthless on things like this. Why should I know anything more than any of you? I've got no right to spout my own opinion. But if God sends his messengers from heaven and sends his Son from heaven and says, here is the truth. Here is the way to be saved. Here is reality. Here is the way to find peace with God. Then that is a message that must be proclaimed. So, let me finish this morning by saying this to you all. I hope that with me this morning you've kind of opened the present following the children. There's wonder there. There's a sense of, wow, this is amazing. This is astonishing. This is incredible. And yet it's not incredible. But it is amazing. And then there's a sense of treasuring. Yes, we can treasure these things. We can treasure Christmas. We can treasure even Jesus in some way. But let's go further than that. Let's ponder what it means. Let's give thought to it. Let's think about it. But then come to the conclusion that this really is God's truth. Jesus really is God's Son. And he came into this world to seek and to save sinners by living and dying and rising from the dead for people like us. Here at Grove Chapel, we believe these things. We tell these things. We praise God for these things. We share these things with each other, and we long for everybody in the whole community and beyond to know these great truths about Jesus that God himself has made known. Do come and join with us. Join us this evening if you wish. Speak to myself if you wish. If anything has affected you today, speak to Pete who's at the back. Speak to Ruel who's over there. Speak to others who are here about these things that we've mentioned today. And it would be our great privilege to talk more about these things with you. Well, we're going to come now to our